Tell me, are you ready to find your weird way? Weird was a concept that was spoken of long ago. It meant fate, it meant destiny, it meant your path in life. I'm your host, Dean Bentley, and I am here to explore how you can connect to your own path in life, to know the essence of your own soul, to connect to that single spark that lives within the deepest recesses of your being that says, this is why I am here, to go beyond the limitations, the constrictions of the modern world and open you to the possibilities and the potentiality of what is possible within this world. Join me as we dive deep on the weird way. Welcome, welcome. We have another episode of The Weird Way coming at you, and I am deeply, deeply excited today. I have a dear sister of mine, Summer Carroll, here with me today, and I've been getting a lot of enjoyment about bringing guests back on and open up some deeper conversations that have been close to my heart. And me and Summer recently had a conversation on her podcast, The Golden Temple, which was for me just so, so delicious. And I know this episode, there's going to be some fire, there's going to be some activations, there's going to be some gold. And sister, it is such a privilege to have you here today. Thank you for coming on The Weird Way.
Thank you. I feel really honored to be here, brother. And I love just following that thread and aliveness from you coming into the Golden Temple and us having an amazing conversation. And now I get to be here in the weird way. And I, even just the name of that, you know, it's like I even already feel I can bring my weirdness here. And it's like it's accepted and it's actually okay to be weird. And yeah, I just really love that.
I feel that's such a big piece for so many of us on the path of like allowing that full expression and that aliveness of who we are. And I know for me, that's been something that has been very confronting to meet and allow that fullness of self. And it's been such a journey to get to where I am today and be able to have this conversation. Like to think I would be on a mic having a conversation where people could listen to, in the past that would have been like, Dean, like, what are you doing? And I know along the way for myself, there's been so many invitations and initiations into this path to get to where I am. And I shared just before we jumped on that last week, I was in the depths of it. I went to a 4-day speaker training and it brought up everything to me. I was crying, I was bawling, I was like, oh, why am I doing any of this? And this happens on the path. And I know for me, this happened when I first started. It happened when I've said yes to invitations along the way. And to get to where you are, I know there's been similar things where it's like, oh my God, how do I go forward? How do I say yes to this? I can feel there's an inner knowing within myself to walk this path, but it also might scare the absolute shit out of me. So I'd love if you're able to like share where you are now, because I know you're a soul worker, you're working with incredible people, you're serving, and to give listeners an idea of where you are now, but also where you started from. And maybe that first moment where it was like, that birth and pain of initiation where it started for you.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me into this question, Dean. I can feel it in my womb, like as soon as you're asking me and inviting me into this, because I feel like my initiation actually was through the womb space. And, you know, for me, for myself, you know, I grew up having, you know, blackouts, and I would faint on the floor and I'd be waking up, you know, however long later, and thinking that was normal, spending a lot of my life with, you know, having panic attacks, it just not being a fun time. And so I feel like that in itself was such an initiation from such a young age of this, just this amount of energy that was moving through me, this aliveness of like wanting to express it in certain ways. And I'm sure the listeners can relate to this, but like constantly being told like, it's too much, it's too loud, like, you know, shut up, like stop doing that. So I feel like for me, you know, and other things that have happened in my life and taken place in my life, it's really brought on that and the body just shutting down. So going through that, becoming a little bit older and just ending up in abusive relationships, you know, constantly in this similar situation and me attracting that in to show me of where I wasn't valuing myself as a woman, where I wasn't seeing my worth, where I wasn't using my voice, where I wasn't knowing my boundaries, I wasn't knowing my desires, I wasn't knowing my yes, I wasn't knowing my no. And for me, one of the biggest initiations of my life was actually like having this abusive relationship and having to get police involved and going through the court system. And it broke me. It destroyed me in that time. You know, I had what looked amazing and perfect on the outside. Like I built this beautiful community space, and a lot of the community would reflect to me, oh my God, like you've got this beautiful space you set up for us. We can, you know, be here in community. We're doing all of the ceremony work. And at that time, I had a hair salon. So I was like, you know, looking after people through hair ritual, and it was amazing. But I was really struggling inside. And there was a lot of this abuse happening, you know, behind the scenes. And so this initiation took me to obviously leave this person, and leave that salon. So that initiation of like hearing, you know, it was a night of me. I was actually Googling how to end my life. This is how quite, you know, dark I was in a quite a dark space. I was Googling how to end my life, and then this message came through so strong, and I felt it through my whole body. And it was like, no, you're going to Peru, you're sitting with ayahuasca. And you're leaving your salon, you're leaving Brisbane, you're selling all of your stuff, and you're going. And it was scary as shit. It was really like it awoke my whole body and my whole being, because that was my safety pocket. You know, that was my source of income, that was my community, that was my safe space. That was what I created, this illusion of safety through what I had created. And it was beautiful what I'd created. But I knew something inside of me, even before this event, a specific event, that there was just something missing. I'm like, I'm loving doing this, but I just know there's something else more for my soul's mission. I know there's something more that I'm here to do to serve. And also, like, you know, being back-to-back clients all day long, I was also avoiding my emotions. So I would like book myself up, and I would be really busy, and I was like having that consistent income coming through, but I was avoiding feeling. So I was quite suppressed, I was repressed. So that relationship really that came in was really reflecting to me all of that repression from childhood and from, you know, all these pieces. And it was an opportunity to go away and sit with, you know, plant medicine. And that really opened up a door for me of just how like beautiful and sacred it is to sit in with plant medicines in a really sacred way. And to honor, you know, honor the land, honor the elements, be able to be around people in such a vulnerable way. And it was very vulnerable for me because I thought I was very open to my community, but there was all these armors up. There was like all these shields around me. And when you're in ceremony and you're literally vomiting, you know, you're freaking shitting, you're like in the wild, you're like, you know, on all fours, like going through the dirt, and it's like disgustingly beautiful. You just realize we're all human, and we all have this like messy side that I feel like we sort of push away, and we shame, and we're like, oh, it's so weird, it's so wild, don't let anyone see that side of me. But it was really humbling for me to be cracked open in that space, and I nearly left. This is when I was vegan too. We were invited to kill a cow, to do a sacred ceremony to, you know, bless the cow, kill the cow, and eat the flesh. And there's another mask I had on at the time of being vegan, and I nearly left. I nearly left the land. I was like about to pack up and leave, but I'm so glad I didn't, because now I realize that was just like a flight response of like, oh, this is too much. You know, it was that another initiation into part of me I hadn't felt off was that predator archetype, that killer archetype that's alive in all of us. So I see I was running from that, which was amazing because I stayed there, I stuck it through, and it was just beautiful to be able to ask this plant, like, I want to heal, number one. And number two, I want to connect to what my soul's mission is, and I want to go all for it. And since that ask, my whole life has changed. My whole life is everything soul-based. And part of the initiation journey that it taught me from the jungle was honoring when the intuition comes through, that energy, like I was sharing when, if, with my childhood, you know, all this energy would move through me, and I would just black out and be quite overwhelmed. It's now it's like, no, honoring that, like when I feel that through the womb space, like that's speaking to me for a reason. that's coming through me to guide me. It's my womb's wisdom. It's like, hey, this is what you need to do. And I feel like what we've been modeled to in society is like, push it down. Don't do that. Go get a job. Play it safe. You know, stay in your safe business that you've built your clientele up, even though you know there's more. You know, it's that safety. It's that familiarity. It's that what we know. And especially because we're birthing these new systems, it isn't easy. It's really not. And you know, this really gave me that resilience, I feel, with the plant medicine and the somatic work from that jungle. And since then, you know, it's just been like we were showing before, Dean, you know, that micro initiation of being an entrepreneur, and then those macro moments of like, okay, we're really being asked to make those big changes. And that was one of them for me, a huge initiation. And just moving and, you know, traveling overseas and having all these health things arise to show me where more suppressed emotion is, and, you know, being able to be here now as a woman, as a facilitator, you know, initiating other people through their body to reclaim their sacred rights, to reclaim their womb, for the men to reclaim their hara, their power, to really, you know, call their power back into their bodies and to trust that power. And that power, you know, it can be fierce, and it can be really warrioress and warrior-like, and it can be really soft and sensual and light and tender. And yeah, it's really, yeah, it's really rewarding to be able to realize that, you know, all of this taking place in my life has led me to now be here for people. And a lot of my clients reflect to me that they feel safe because I've journeyed through this myself. And also along there, like being admitted multiple times in psychiatric hospitals for, you know, having out-of-body experiences and through self-harm and having my own mental health, you know, challenges along this journey. And then being able to become my own self-healer through that. So I'm not like a self-proclaimed shaman or anything, but I do feel like all of us, we are our own healer. We are our own shaman, if you will. And when we do connect to, it doesn't have to be ayahuasca, it doesn't have to be that intense, but, you know, things like psilocybin and like microdosing and bringing that with our somatic work, or connecting to the elemental forces, connecting to our cacao, and really slowing down and being more intentional. Because something that I've learned along my journey is like, you can't rush it. And, you know, we could go and do all these journeys, but if we're not being intentional of like what our desires are, what we're desiring to get out of it, we could just keep running and going to this next ceremony and going to this next event, and we're leaving more frazzled and confused. So I feel like that importance of the initiation is one step, feeling the aliveness, feeling the message, taking action, like grounded action, because then we're not going to feel confused, and we're not going to feel backed up with, you know, having anxiety attacks or, you know, PTSD that's spiraling out of control, because we're really honoring our intuition and we're following that thread. So, yeah.
You just opened up so many different threads that I want to go down right now. So thank you for that, and thank you for sharing your story. And there was a piece at the start, because I think this is such an important piece along the journey. Like, even when you were reflecting at the very start and speaking to the challenges of the time and what was going on, I felt this sense of deep self-ownership of what you created in your world. And this being like, hey, I caused this, I created this. And I know for me, when I first started down that route of, oh my God, I'm responsible for my reality. Everything that is happening right now, I created. And there was a confrontation with that, because there's parts most of us would rather not look at. And when you were speaking then, I just felt such a sense of deep ownership that I thought it would be really powerful if you could share how you came into that, and that, like, the moments where you're like, oh my God, I created this. I was the one responsible, and how you began to understand that even in these situations where in the modern world you may be labeled a victim, you took ownership of that and took your power back in that as well.
It's a really good question, brother. Yeah, thank you so much for asking that, because, you know, even when I was going through the hospital system, like you're saying, you know, like the mainstream system of, you know, waking up in psychiatric hospitals, confused how I got there, being told by people that I attempted suicide, and you're really looked at as a victim in that realm. And I feel like my experience with that is wasn't being guided the way out and how to empower myself. So for me, I would say the biggest modality and the biggest practice and moments that that's come through for self is through breath work. So specifically with connected circular breath and being guided into the body and in a very grounded way. So really, creating a sanctuary where there's no interruptions, no phones present. A lot of the time we go into these ceremonies, our phones are around us. They're not on flight mode. Interrupt now, my phone's on flight mode. Like, we go into things and we've got all these things going on, and we wonder why we're still in that victim energy, right? Or we've got our friends next to us and we have a little chin wag, and it's like, well, if we're really going to take that ownership and self responsibility, it's how we're going into an experience. So for me, going into the breath work with like, I'm ready, like I'm really ready to heal the root of this and to feel what's necessary so I can clear it, and so I'm no longer attracting that in my reality. Because for me, with going through the abuse with this man and how I attracted that, it really opened up layers, and I just kept attracting the similar man that was, very, seemed really friendly, but I could feel that threat and I could feel that charge. So that was when I was like, well, obviously it's me now. It's not men. And I hated men for years. And I share this on the Golden Temple. Like, there was a moment there where I was like, this is, the men are dangerous. They want to take from me. They want to like either sexually abuse me or, be violent towards me. And it wasn't until I really went in and realized actually I was attracting this from a big wound. And men are beautiful. I'm in this place now where, going into multiple breathwork journeys with myself, with women, and with men, and being able to be in space actually where men, this is a big one actually for me, is where I can be around men that are accessing their rage and I'm still like regulating myself and teaching my body actually, oh, it is safe. Like, he's not harming me. He's feeling in his power and he's a powerful being, but he's not projecting it onto me, to see that that is possible. And I didn't know that was possible, because what I'd been around was like men acting out in very emotionally immature ways where, all sorts of, and I won't get deep into that here, but it was very outward. It was very onto. So to be able to realize there is this other way where men also are self-responsible has really helped. So I really want to give honoring to the men that have really helped me be in this place now, because honestly, without actually opening up to being in space with men, I don't know if I would actually be able to be here. So one, going inside myself through breath work, connected circular breath, with that intention to heal and take self-responsibility. And then definitely being in person events with men and women where everyone's accessing, like big dense emotions like shame, like terror, like rage, and even hatred, and being able to be like, I am inside of my body, it is safe, I am safe to be here, we are all powerful beings, and we can now channel that into our creations with a really regulated, grounded space. Yeah.
That is such a beautiful journey, and to feel what I've seen in so many experiences, like the safety men can provide. And it's why I'm so passionate about men's work and why men coming into the masculine, because then they can offer this gift, then they can offer this healing. And it's a, like to see that and receive that transmission of what it's done for you fills my heart to know the men out there doing this work to provide that space, because it is so deeply needed. Because as men, we've caused a lot of pain, and it's our also role. We can provide a deeper level of safety and healing as well. So, and to acknowledge your own work in that as well, of like being willing, because I think so, it is easy to pass that off of, I don't really want to take responsibility here. I want to heal, but I don't want to take responsibility. And then just circle around of like, why am I not healing? Because there's this deeper thing of like, oh, I created that, I caused that. And that is one of the fundamental pieces we need to come to acceptance with to move through. So I really feel that peace for you. And I know in myself as well. The other piece that was alive when you were initially speaking was what's come up again is that piece of safety. Or because this is such a fundamental thing for our nervous system, for community. And what I thought of when you were speaking of your initial story was that you said there was an illusion of safety, and there was an idea of feeling safe before you left for Peru. And it felt like that was the time you were with in an abusive relationship as well.
Yeah. So before I left for Peru, it was like I was just, we just ended. And that illusion of safety I feel like I created around me was like, was almost giving my power away to this man of like, I unconsciously am going to make this man make me feel safe because I don't have the tools. This is me back then. This was in my, oh, it would have been early 20s, because I don't have the tools to be able to cultivate that myself.
Yeah, and like for me, there's a piece here where as people, we can put ourselves in situations where we perceive ourselves to be safe. Of okay, I'm safe in this environment, I'm safe in this experience, even in your case where there was abuse. And I've seen this with other people where it's like, I'm self-harming, I'm hurting myself in different ways, whatever that is. But there's a level of I feel safe in this because this is known, this is what I know. So I'd rather stay here than move on. So I'm wondering if you could speak into that element.
Yeah, it's familiarity, isn't it? It's what we've known. So I grew up with that was around me. It was very, like I was showing before, like my upbringing was just a lot of drinking, a lot of addiction. So, for me as a child, you're really relying on your parents for safety. Unfortunately, though, if they are in addiction and they're, acting out in not so loving ways, that can really threaten a child's safety. So that became very familiar for me, is like, being used to that drinking taking place, and a lot of yelling things, sounds, and almost probably dissociating a lot as a child, as a little girl, and having that as a strategy as well of, this is not safe, I'm just going to leave the body, come back when it is safe. And for me as a child, it was a gift in itself, because I learned how to start connecting to nature. When I would feel that, I would like go to the nature, and I feel like the goddesses were actually working with me as a child without even realizing. The deities, were like, and probably Mary Magdalene, I would say, because as a child, the rose was like my medicine, the rose energy. And spending a lot of time with my grandparents, my granddad, he would always take me out to the garden. He would pick me a rose, and he would like be so slow. And my grandfather, he showed me what true love was. He's no longer here. But he was such a gift, because, being a man, being the masculine, and feeling like I didn't have that like safety, like from the masculine, from the man, but spending a lot of time with him and him being able to like direct me so slowly, like taking our time, going out to the gardens, picking a rose, looking at each petal, smelling it, like really connecting to it. It brought me into making rose potions and tinctures, and now I'm doing that as an adult. So really, I feel like, yes, there was this victim element of being exposed to a lot of yelling and abuse from the way I was brought up, but I feel like my soul actually chose that, crazily enough, to be able to be initiated through the rites of passage with Mary Magdalene, the codes of the rose, to connect in with that and be another initiation into opening and understanding, through the body of what that entails. So back to your question, to circle it back around to the familiarity, yeah, like what was familiar to my nervous system was a father that was quite avoidant, and he was military, so like he would go away a lot, so there's a lot of abandonment as well, with men, for myself, going away, being there, like coming back, being quite, riled up and using substances to probably numb, and then a lot of erratic behavior, just very unpredictable behavior. So for me, what was familiar was being in relationship with that, because that's what my nervous system knew. So our nervous systems will keep attracting familiarity until we heal that wound. Because our brain and our body goes, I know this, I know how to work with this energy, I know how to manipulate this, and I'm not perfect either. So I became really good at manipulating as well. Because for me, I would know as a child when the drinks were on, I could come in and, sort of get what I wanted, and they would forget, and they'd say things, and the next day, it's very dysfunctional. So those of you listening, if you have come from a dysfunctional family, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We really need to watch ourselves that we don't then take on that narcissistic behavior. Because as a child that has been exposed to a lot of that, we can almost make our way the way, and like, my way is the way, and I will manipulate my way through because I know this energy. So the familiarity has been a path for me, and then also taking that responsibility and coming back in and going, you know what, I know my legacy now, I know what I'm creating, I know my worth, and I'm also going to honor these other people that have had this harm, because these abusive relationships, they also have had harm in their life. And they are also an innocent child underneath all of that that has experienced pain. So it's like an honoring, it's a devotion to say, okay, this is coming, it's familiar, but I'm not available because this is what I'm choosing. I'm choosing my legacy, and I'm going to keep doing the nervous system regulation work to be able to receive something completely open and renewed. So I feel like that's why, yeah, it's so important that we are doing these practices to regulate the nervous system and be able to go, you know what, I'm going to receive this love. And especially, you know, I've got these here. These are my little psilocybins that I'm microdosing at the moment. The reason why I'm really passionate about microdosing with psilocybin with this somatic work is if you have experienced a lot of dysfunctional behaviors from growing up, and the body, you know, the body literally can't receive love. It just can't, because it's gone through so much. For me, why I'm so passionate about specifically microdosing, not macrodosing big amounts, but like the microdose, is it's actually creating these new neural pathways where we can receive love, even though it's really uncomfortable. Even still to this day, if someone's really loving, I'm like I still notice, and I want to really bring that through. It is still a practice for me to be able to receive true love. And the mushrooms is something that I find really, really helps that, and to like access these like states of joy and overflow, so I can show up to the business and show up to my clients, because they deserve that. You know, if we're not doing this work, where, like I was sharing before at the start of this podcast, is like we've got the business, we've got all the income coming through, it's consistent, but our people can't feel us. They're experiencing a facade version of us. They're experiencing a dissociated version of us. They're experiencing, you know, me when I wasn't working, I would be doing drugs still and doing stuff that wasn't loving. So they're actually not experiencing the full totality of us. So when we really choose our soul path and we choose to do this work, the people we're serving, they're actually experiencing the heart of us. And humanity deserves that. We deserve that. Yeah.
Oh, I feel that final piece there of like the thing I've touched on so many times in my own work, and it's been the transmission of like what we want our clients to experience. Because I've been in that place where I've operated from a very unhealthy dynamic with my business, and it doesn't serve. I was like in the hustle, in the grind, I was pushing myself more and more and more. And I was like, okay, I just need to get the next one. And in that process, all I was doing was allowing the other people, my clients, to take on that mindset, that energetic transmission of like, okay, this is what you need. You need to push yourself. You need to be doing more. You need to be grinding, working hard. And on an unconscious and energetic level, that's what we tell the people we work with, or the people around us, if we're behaving like that. And I think this is such an important piece. If it's like, yeah, I'm showing up loving to everyone around me, but secretly I'm harming myself, being unloving to myself, that transmission comes through, and the people around us receive that. It doesn't matter if they don't see it, it doesn't matter if they don't know about it, they feel it and they will know about it. And until we are able to clear that up and be like, oh, I still have that pattern. And it's a continuous journey. Like, this is the other piece. Like you said, it's not like I'm a guru or you're a guru and we're all fucking perfect. No, we don't want that. We want the humanness and to acknowledge that so we can move beyond shame and actually connect in a deeper way where it's like, oh, yeah, I wasn't loving there. Okay, can I bring love into the not love, like where I went to go shame myself and come to acceptance of that? That is a different energy and so powerful. And I love this piece of like the psilocybin being an opening for that, because we do need our tools. I know without this work, I struggled to receive love. I was the same. I had to play the nice guy, the people pleaser. The shadow, I manipulated the fuck out of people to get love. And so to go on that journey, it's like we're all at the end wanting love. That's one of our underlying drivers. But if we can find a way to open to that with new possibilities, new ways that are healthy, well, that changes the dynamics in such a profound way, which changes so much.
Yeah. Oh, humanity, like I just keep feeling like humanity fucking deserves this. Like, it makes me so emotional. It makes me so emotional because, like, we're so disservicing if we're not doing the deeper work. And, you know, like you're saying, you know, some of these tools are like, they're like training wheels, right? They're like training wheels. And then sometimes we take the training wheels off and we don't need these tools. Like, there's parts of the seasons of my life I go into, I'm like, oh, I don't need the mushrooms now. I'm good. Like, they come in and out. And that's great. But I feel like we do need these training wheels, if you will, or these tools in times of our life. And especially for those of you listening to this right now, if you know you're here to do something beautiful and you know you really want to be creating it from integrity, working with these modalities and these tools can really help more of that love come through. And yes, our humanity, but like we are humanity as well. So we're feeling like once we've done something, we're feeling like it's filling us up. It doesn't even feel like we're working because it's just filling us up and it's just this overflow and it's just a beautiful place to be creating from because where we're creating from, we are going to be creating more of that. So where we're creating from is so important. And that is the self-responsibility piece that I feel like more entrepreneurs really, I feel like are needing to really take on is, okay, we're going into an experience of we're investing in a container, we're investing in a retreat. Okay, how can I really, you know, on the lead up to that, like start to really be in devotion and be communing with the entity of this creation. It's not the facilitator's full responsibility, you know, it's really not. And I feel there's been this way where it's like people can think like because they're paying all this money, like they can just show up and like bring all their, you know, their energy. But it's like, what if you started really being in devotion and creating really strong habits before going into the space so you can be more energetically responsible of how you're showing up in space, because this is where I feel like we're all coming together as leaders in spaces, and there's no longer the hierarchy of like you're sharing, Dean, like, you know, you're the guru or I'm the guru. It's like that's a lot of weight to hold. And you know, I know when I got admitted the first time into the hospital, and my best friend at the time, she's like, oh my God, I put, you know, she was saying to my mom, I put her on such a pedestal that now I just don't know what to do. Because I was clearly not doing so great. And I wasn't available to be there for my friends like I was. I was always coaching my friends. I was always giving all my friends the advice that I needed for myself. Good old Capricorn trait of that one. And you know, that was a really great initiation in itself and a really big lesson that I always say to people, please do not put me on a pedestal. And don't put yourself on a pedestal because, you know, we're all gonna let those people down. And I really just desire a world where we can all be in taking that self-responsibility, doing the self habits and coming in spaces like that so we can all lead ourselves and lead each other.
This is such a powerful piece. Like the pedestal, and I see within a lot of this work is so relevant. And I know I came into the work and I was like, oh my God, these people have it all figured out. They're like these teachers, they're these gurus, and like they're perfect. And this I see it in so many people, but when we actually begin to acknowledge the imperfections, it allows us to rise. So it while I was seeing someone above me pedestaling them, we can't actually go like begin to lead because we're like, I'm not good enough because all these other people around me, they're so wonderful and so special. And that doesn't allow us to recognize our own divinity, our own greatness. And we need to actually be like, okay, can I see the flaws, and I say that with air quotes for the people listening, of someone we pedestal or like think is great and still love them? Because that's what we're being asked. Like, can that person be great as well as human? Because do they need to hold that I'm fucking fantastic all the time? No, that's not what we do as humans. Like that doesn't work because it's only going to put weight on their shoulders and make them crumble. But if they have a space to actually be human, like if we can come on and we can get real on this conversation and be like, I've been messy, I've been fucked up, I've done some shit I'm not proud of. I still do that at times. And then people like, I can still get value from your work as well. Like, that's the paradox because it's okay to be both. It means there's a path of integrity here, and you shouldn't like that. There's a balance here where it's like, no, you do need to know what you're doing and know your work and feel like it wants to move through you, not just like I did a breathwork session, now I'm a breathwork teacher. Like, no. But also like allow yourself the humanness of being where you're at, because this is part of it. It's part of the process. And until we can come into relationship with that, it won't work.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yes to all of that. This is really big stuff, and like I love the messy human conversation and the realness and like keeping the human in the business. I actually did a live on Facebook the other day, and I was like calling everyone out on their bullshit. It was the best. It was so fun. It was really alive in my body, and I got a lot of receiving of that, that people were feeling that as well, that with these fast-paced moving ways that we've got right now, which is great. We've got AI, we've got like digital currencies, we've got NFTs, we've got social media where we can literally create amazing content. But we also need to remember to keep the human in the business. Like I love voice noting, I love sharing voice notes. I love actually using my voice when I'm in business, because for me personally, if someone just sends me like a message, I'm just like my body switches off, and I'm really passionate about keeping that relationship of like you're talking to that person like you're in a coffee shop. You're talking to that person that you're desiring to co-create something with, or someone's applying to work with you. You're talking to that person like you're in person, because a lot of people come to me, they're like, I just don't know how to be online. Like, I'm great in person, but I don't know how to be on Zoom. I'm like literally the exact same. Like that version of you, just online. Like And it's just it. I giggle a little bit of the innocence of that. It's really pure and beautiful, and it is so beautiful. And I want to preserve that. And also, being familiar with these devices is really where the way's going. It's 2024, and we can't just solely rely on the in person. Like I love in person, and it's amazing. And also, we can take our work globally when we can be creating our signature offerings and, being able to bring that out to the world, because a lot of people have all these modalities and they're like, I just don't know what to do. Like I'm this, I'm that, and I'm scattered, and I'm doing this, and I'm fragmenting my energy anywhere. And, people are feeling a little bit disorientated, and it's like, well, we can, there is actually a way that we can bring it all into a signature package, and to have that feeling integral with self, and to be able to give more value to the people. So yeah, humanness, all of that is so needed.
This conversation excites me so much because I think when a lot of people come to the business space, there's a lot of like things of like, I'm a businessman, I got to put on my suit and tuck in my tie and get real professional. And it's like, this is how business is. And I had a conversation with a client of mine last night, and we're talking about sales, which for many people, when it comes to business, is like, oh my God, I'm like, I'm selling something. I'm so afraid because we're dealing with money, one of the things that we have most shame about in this world. And it's like, one of the insights he had is like, oh, this is just a normal conversation. That's all this sales process is. Okay, that changes dynamics because most people make business serious. There's a correlation of like, if I'm doing business, I need to be really professional, which equals serious and like perfect. And it's like, no, that's actually not what people are craving. They're wanting this level of realness. Like, they're still like leadership, but that looks very different to professionalism.
Absolutely. Dismantle all the professionalism. I feel like we've all been in a job where we've been told that, or maybe we've been in a different business container, and we've created that story that we have to put on the business suit or do the hair in a certain way, or dress in a certain way. And something I love about business in this way is actually like waking up being like, oh, what do I want to wear today? And like how do I desire to express myself. And I love content creation, and I love all of that. I just love all of that with business. And I actually love that we are all the hats of business. Like I love that we're videographers, we're photographers, we're shamans, we're healers, we're speakers, we're content creators, we're all of the things. And I actually love that. That's what I actually love about entrepreneurship. And I feel like that's where your own unique expression does come in, and what makes you so different about anyone else in this space is to be able to dress what feels true for you, what feels orgasmic, what color is your business, what textures, what for me, like jewelry, I love jewelry, and I love gold jewelry specifically. I feel like that's really a part of it. You're wearing the gold shirt right now, I can see, brother, and I love that. And I feel like that's really a part of it. And not having to like, perfectly shave your face or anything like that as well. Like you just get to let it be.
I get to let it be. And for those that aren't listening, you can actually see a cock on my wall as well. So that's part
Yeah, I
of it
love
as
that.
well. And that's my cosmic cock. So like we get to bring in the multidimensionality of ourselves. And like there's a conversation I've been having for a while, and that is business as a spiritual path of the modern world. It's like we need to embrace the totality of self to actually synthesize and bring that through. It's like you're saying, I need to be all of the hats. I know need to know all of that, especially at the start, to actually begin creating something. And to do that, there's this journey to go on to actually learn the skills, take the action, and also hold oneself in the chaos of like figuring all of that out. Because that's not actually easy. And I think a lot of people like, I'm going to be a coach. And I know I was very optimistic when I started. I did a random course and I was like, I'm a coach now. You've been certified. And I was like, how the hell do I do that? But then on the journey of figuring it out, it revealed so much about myself and also initiated me into a new way of being. And this point you touched on earlier of like the in the entrepreneurial world of where people are creating from, I think such a powerful conversation. So I'd love if you could explore more of that, of like this importance of weaving the spiritual into business and how through our energetic transmission, business could transform the world as well.
I can feel that in my sex, that question, because the creativity, I feel like I just feel so creative and I love that. Like, I love this gift that all of us can tap into, man or woman. And for me, like, the creativity piece is something that, yes, we do need to know. Like, so just a little bit of background. I have invested into business coaches, I have invested into strategy coaches, I have invested with the spiritual work. I have really done, all of these different practices and teachings to learn different ways. And I feel like with my own spiritual journey and the practices of going inside and knowing, okay, I'm going to have this call, for example, and I'm going to have this call today with you. What am I going to do to take self-responsibility to ensure that I'm communing with myself and filling my cup so that I can almost code how I desire to feel when I show up to this call to be energetically in overflow? So for me, it's like today I actually was, it was great. I woke up and I was guided through a journey. I got to receive today. I got to be held today by the masculine. I was like, oh, this is nice. Especially after doing this like connection to the light feminine call this week. And most days I'm doing these journeys on my own. So I'm, putting playlists on, I'm creating my own playlists, I'm going into journeys. They can be anywhere from about 15 minutes that I create. To an hour sometimes if I do want to go on a bigger journey, and then I'll create space to really integrate it, connect to the elements. But if I know I've got a big day and I've got calls, that's a really like that self-responsibility piece of ensuring that I'm creating from joy and bliss and pleasure and of serving. It's like showing up of like, I'm going to serve myself first, but how can I really serve these people in a really beautiful way that's going to really leave them feeling inspired and impacted, and I can do this. Like, that's something that's huge for me is like when I'm serving in whatever container it is, my desire is for people to leave this call like, I can do this. Like, I've got this. I've got me. I can invest in myself. Yes, I can. I can be resourceful, because when we're being resourceful with the breathwork modality, we're literally receiving life force energy, air element through the body. We are giving this oxygen through all of the cells. We're becoming so abundant just by nature. Then we can really get out of our own way and find the way to be resourceful with money. And going back to the start where I was sharing about men and the masculine, for me, I was sharing about how I hated men and I hated the masculine. I hated the masculine within myself as well, within this. Healing this core wound with my father, and it's still a journey with my father and with men and with the men I've had these interactions with, has allowed me to create more of a structure and a foundation and a devotion to my business and money. Because our relationship with men is so intrinsically connected with money. So if we are creating from these wounds that we're not even aware of, maybe, we've done the business course, we've yep, you're a coach now, whatever that thing is, or you're a yoga teacher, or you're a breathwork, practitioner, but there is still this core wound from maybe an abandonment from the father, or deep pain of father not being present, or father being avoidant, father not being there financially, whatever the thing is, or maybe an angry father. That is going to really deeply touch. We're creating from that, and it's so unconscious. It's like, yes, I'm here to do the thing, but the body's like, I hate money. I hate men. I hate you. I will kill you. And that's this frequency. And I'm, you know, there's a bit of humor here because I'm in this place now. I can kind of laugh at it now. There's a bit of like dark humor to this. This will be admitted. It's a frequency that's coming out, and I feel it come out of my base. So coming back to your question of creating, you know, where we're creating more of, it's okay, I feel this aliveness, I feel this energy. So for me, I'm quite open in my root chakra. That's where I'm very open in my centers. So for me, it's like moving that life force energy through the body, fueling it up to the heart, fueling it up to the third eye, and, you know, creating this really powerful vortex. So I'm creating from a very even energy. It's not all from base. It's very important that we are moving this life force energy through the body. And we're also connecting evenly and balancing out all the elemental forces as well in the body. So even before this call, Dean and I were talking about, you know, too much water element, you feel a little bit like, and when, you know, we're moving the body around and we're like, feel a little bit like, oh, where am I going today? It's like, you know, like a little bit of water element, so beautiful, and it can purify us and it can help us integrate, and we can have baptisms and we can purify and we can feel our sexuality and our emotions. But too much of that, we're just processing emotions all day long. And nothing's happening. So I've got trees behind me now. There is a grounding, there is an anchoring that's being called in this week. Some weeks I'm like lighting fires every day, and I'm like, yeah, like let's get the fire moving. This is beautiful. But especially with this breath work and receiving so much life force energy, the combination with the earth and the trees and the grounding, you're going to be creating from more of a grounded center. So when you're speaking, you know, for me, this journey of speaking has been a big one, especially with the being strangled around the throat, is really reclaiming that voice. And it's like, no, I can speak. I am worthy of speaking. My voice is valued. I have a gift. And so, yeah, I feel like to answer your question there, and to all the listeners, it's like if you're, you know, you've done maybe a course and you're like, yeah, I'm doing this thing, and you just feel like you're going around in circles and you're like, oh my God. It might be time to invest in a program, in a mastermind, in a container, in a space that you know the facilitator, the guide, the coach really loves you and wants to see you win. And to know that being in a community where people are literally going to celebrate you and celebrate your wins, celebrate your goals, celebrate your shares, even when you're sharing the pits of your shame, like your biggest shameful parts of yourself, the most disgusting parts of yourself, we're like, we fucking love you. All of you is welcome here. That is so important.
I know this so intimately because when we're coming from this, like I see a lot of this, like you're talking about the root, there's a lot of survival in that, and especially with the father wound as well. Well, father and mother complex for a lot of people, there's an element of survival tied into that. And if you're coming into business from a place of survival, well, your business is going to be like, I just need to get through the next day, the next week, whatever it is. And it's going to repeat the same cycle because there's still this deeper wound that is like, hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm going to get larger and larger until you look at me. And this is what I see a lot of people go through. And I know I've been through myself when I've been initiated. It's like I've been like just trying to put in more energy to business. And it's like if I just do more and more and more, it's going to get to the point where it's better. But actually, the invitation would stop and to look inwards and say, oh my God, I was avoiding my father wound, my fear of being like being a provider, the fear of my own masculinity. Like if I was feeling them fins, how am I actually going to create a business which does have masculine structure and need me be connected to my power? Well, it's not, but I'm going to try and put in more energy and it's eventually going to crumble because it's an immature masculine, so an immature structure, and that won't hold. There will be no solid foundation. And these pieces of shame, they live within the body. And it's like, I can't share that, or I don't have space for it. Like, well, it's going to show up in business. Like, there's a saying, what's repressed comes out sideways. And this is the same as that. If you're ashamed of using your voice, for example, it's going to be very hard to speak online. But that's probably a deeper wound. Like I grew up with a lisp. I've always had trouble speaking. That's been a big journey for me to get to this point. And it's like, oh, without that, I would not be here having this conversation. So it's like, yeah, all of that affects our business. Even if it's not known how, as you go on this inward journey, it's like, oh my God, that's obvious. That's why I'm stuck in business. That's why it's not working, because there's something happening within myself and I need to address that first.
Yes. And the piece around that you were sharing with where we're creating from, we're creating more of, is there was something really fucking alive. Now it's fucking slipped. Flip my psyche. Let it come in. Let it come in. It was really there, and now it's slipped away. I'm just gonna let it
I had this exact same process with
go.
a
Oh, it's
client
come
yesterday,
through.
and
I think it's come through. No, it slipped away again. Okay, it doesn't want to be shared. There was something as you were sharing, I'm like, oh, it really wants to be shared, but maybe it's more for me to receive and to just let it land. Yeah. I feel like this self-responsibility piece and the masculine threads and, the feminine threads as well, are really important to be that taking that responsibility. Like, okay, I might not be aware that these things are here, but there's always something in the psyche that's playing out that we're not aware of. And I'm not sure if you've heard of the book, Existential Kink. I freaking love that book, EK.
So good.
Oh, that book. When I was in that victim and that book, I was th this that book became my Bible. So I would love all the parts of me that manifested all of, because I remember you asked me before, like, how did I get out of that victim? That book was a big tool as well. It's like every time that wounding would play out and I would attract that in my business, I would go in and love the part of me that just loved it, loved the abuse, loved the being treated in that way because it was so familiar to the body. That was a really big piece as well. So I feel like, yeah, anyone listening to this, that book is amazing. It is available on Audible and it can be a really great help as well to love these parts that we really do shame. And shame is such a low vibration. It's so low that if we are creating from that shame, like you're saying, that immature masculine, there's just no strong foundations, there's no strong roots to hold it up. So, you're feeling like you're just going around and around and around, really strong foundation, so that the feminine can feel safe and held to be able to access that flow state. We talk a lot about flow state and spirituality, accessing flow state, energetics, being in communing with, the ascension and the descension, that balance of both. Well, that can't happen if we don't have strong foundations around us. And I want to say, yes, we have strong foundations of, like, our environments that we're in, but it really does start with us. It's our own body, it's our own spirit, and it's our own body first and foremost, always.
This piece is so important because we've had a theme of initiations with this conversation. And one of the pieces with this is when we're going through that stage of like, yes, there's a layer of immature masculine, which may be the structure or the feminine, whatever it is. Often, like when people go through an initiation period, there is this crumbling that occurs of like a deconstruct of the inner structure. And this isn't to shame where a person is at. We actually go through this several times throughout our journeys. I know I'll have many, many more throughout my lifetime as like more and more. It's like, oh, I'm getting initiated into a more ability to hold more, have a more capacity, and my current structure, which is my current lens of reality, will fall away. So a new structure can supersede that. And this is the importance of allowing that death, of allowing that moment of collapse to fall inwards. So I feel like we're moving towards the end of this conversation. But before we do, like, there's this final piece for me of like, when we're going into that period where it can feel like we're dying and we're going through the initiation, it's like, ah, everything's happening. Like, from your own experience, what would you share with people to help guide them through that journey so they can actually surrender into that to allow the next version or reality to emerge?
It's a really good question. I would say, even simply, like, right now, my natural instinct for that was like placing one palm on the heart space. And even if you guys are listening right now, if you would just want to take a moment to place your palm on your heart, and even just breathing in through the nose and allowing your belly to fall big. So, if you're sucking your belly in, a lot of us ladies, we suck the stomach in, allow the belly to fall big, holding the breath, exhaling out of the mouth. Taking another nice inhale breath in through the nose. Allowing that oxygen to fuel all through the cells. And exhaling out. And on this final inhale breath, really allowing the body to fall heavy and feeling the earth really holding and grounding and anchoring you, really confirming that you are safe. You are safe here. You are held and you are so powerful and you have all of the answers that you need to make the next steps moving forward. Inhale in through the nose and out of the mouth. So I would definitely first start with the three breaths before making any decision, at least, because when we are in these spaces of externaling, we are so obsessing with these 3D realms. We get so fixated on what's happening in our 3D reality. When the truth is in these spaces, when we close our eyes and we go into and we plug in to the energetic spaces, the unseen spaces, this is where the truth actually is. We can't see it. It's not seen. It hasn't been created yet. When you're in the depths, you know, things can feel very dark. You're in the void. You're in the mother. And it's unknown. It's unfamiliar. The path hasn't been created yet because you're here to create it. So allowing yourself to be inside of yourselves, if it feels true, reach out to someone, invest in yourselves, and to commit to being inside of yourself more so. You know your body more than anyone else. You know your soul more than anyone else. So I would really say and encourage to go inside of yourselves and set up a safe sanctuary for yourself to journal out, to make yourself a cup of cacao, to, if cacao's not available, a glass of water. You know, those of you might even be traveling right now and you might be like in like this in between. I know this has been me in my journey. I'm like in between. I'm like, I don't have anywhere to sleep. Like, what's going on? Oh my God, I've got my bags here. I've got my bike with me. I'm like, because I used to do a lot of mountain cycling back in the day, road biking, and I'd be like, what do I do? Let's just stop and breathe. I got me. I'm safe. And then the answer will always come. And what I found within my journey is like, rather than like going online and like searching, actually just letting the body kind of guide and like being curious. So like if I'm traveling and I'm like, okay, I desire a place to stay tonight and I desire to be close to the mountains and the temples so I can cycle up and receive the temple codes. My body has naturally guided me to the next step, whether it's a house or it's a conversation or it's a experience, like, you know, an investment. My body will guide the way. And also on that note, with the body guiding you the way, I do want to presence this to wrap this up. Your body could also be guiding you in ways from those unprocessed emotion. And I do really want to presence the truth of that. That yes, there is a truth to when you have cleared and process these suppressed emotion, your body will be able to clear you from a more cleaner channel, from more, this feels like true love. So I'm going to honor this path. If you haven't processed your emotions and you're listening to this and you do feel a bit backed up, I like to call it emotionally constipated, where you just feel like you're like, who the fuck am I? You're like dissociated, you're like disorientated, you're just like feeling really frazzled. And we call it we're feeling all the feels. And it's like, well, what actually is there? Is it grief? Is it rage? Is it sadness? Is it terror? Like when we get really specific on what we're feeling, and you've processed that, that's where your energy is really going to guide you into more love and to more possibility on your true soul path, not on your traumatized egoic path. So that's what I want to end that piece with. Very important.
Yeah, thank you for that last caveat. That is a powerful piece, and we can't operate from that state of like emotional whelmed. Like it doesn't work. The system's overrun. So like that piece is so important. And if we're not in stillness, like the free breaths, they can help a lot. There's such importance to this slowing down. But if we're still not from a place of centeredness, we can still be reacting rather than responding, and that is still a trauma response. So thank you for that powerful, powerful piece, Summer.
Thank you. And you know, it's like you're sharing, it's like we're in co-creation with life now when we're going in and we're like, if I don't, I've got two containers I'm in right now. If I didn't have those spaces, like I'd be doing this all alone and there would be little pieces that I can't see. And it's so important to be held sometimes. We're leaders, we're entrepreneurs, we also need to be held. And we need to like take off that mask of like, I've got it all together and I can do it all myself, that overly independent charge. It can happen when you've been through certain things in life, that trauma response. It's like, no, let's take these masks off and let ourselves allow ourselves to be held. So worthy of that. So you can be in co-creation, no longer, like you're saying, reactivity, responding with life from a regulated nervous system.
That is powerful, Summer. That is like feels like a great place to really end this conversation. And before we do, I'd love to know how can any of the listeners connect with you if there's anything you're currently running or offering soon. I'd love if you could share that for the listeners as well and let them know what's happening.
Yeah, I would love to. I recently ran a really cool masterclass, and that's opened up to a offering for 4 months in sacred rights. And it's essentially about reclaiming your sacred rights of being that sovereign being that you are here to be, to yes, be spiritual and connected to your soul path, and also learn really necessary skill sets like selling your offer, having your own signature offer, having those systems and structures, and having all of these really strong foundations to hold you so you can access these like flow states that we cause to be in that like overflow. So you're no longer like feeling like you need to fill your cup. You can be in that overflow to serve your family, to serve your home space first and foremost, and then to allow that to ripple into your business creations. And sacred rights isn't just business based. Something that I'm really passionate about is creating like beautiful home sanctuaries, especially for ladies. Like it's a part of our feminine nature, as we love to make the home nice and bring the altars in and have all of that. So there's going to be ritual work, ceremony work, and also that action taking is really important as well. So yeah, I feel like that's all I feel drawn on sharing with that. And if the people wish to apply for that, I can send you that application form as well.
Thank you, Summer. And for those that want to connect with Summer, you can find her at Summer Carol. It's summer.carol on Instagram.
Underscore summer underscore Carol on Instagram.
And so please connect with her. She's a beautiful soul and powerful woman. Summer, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here. Thank you for sharing your codes and your transmission here on The Weird Way. It has been powerful. It has been pleasurable. Thank you so much for being here. For all the listeners, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.